Hey Gators and sports fans, get all your Gator talk, news, analysis, and opinions on the Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning podcast. Find us on your favorite podcast platform or watch us on Facebook Live between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. every weekday. Pod Up, because we are Gator fans. So say, it's great to be a Florida Gator.
Good morning and welcome to a hump day edition of the program. It's Pod Up with Matt Warner from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. Large enough to serve you, small enough to care. It's Wednesday. That means we'll have JC. And then we're going to have Edgar Thompson. Edgar's been very busy with the Orlando Sentinel. He's the beat writer for the Florida Gators. He's busy with what's going on with the Gator football program. So, first, let's head on to the Titan No More hotline. And I know this guy stayed up late watching Maction last night.
Good morning, JC. QB, it's just, I don't know what it is. It pulls me in, the Mac. You know, it pulls me in that conference. I can't figure it quite out. I don't know if it's the quiet little stadiums they play in or if it's these kids running around looking like, you know, the 6A high school game. But I just love watching. There's something that pulls me in with the Mac. And last night, Eastern Michigan with a thrilling one-point win over Western Michigan. And, you know, you can't take these teams too lightly. Western Michigan was a team that beat Pitt this year. So, you know, they've got some capable teams in that conference. And, you know, Miami of Ohio played Bowling Green last night. You had Toledo playing. These teams are cool, and you've got Miami playing Kent State, and the winner's going to probably play Northern Illinois in the big or in the MAC championship game. So I'm all about the MAC during the middle of the week, at least. That's for sure.
Yeah, we got a Facebook Live here. We got a bunch of them already. Good morning all right, to everyone. Cool. Chris says on Facebook Live, brought to you by Mental Law. Shane, I heard yesterday that Lane Kiffin's wife and father-in-law are Gator alums. His ex-wife is the daughter of the great John Reeves, one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play here, who also was a coach on the teams when I played here. So Lane has a lot of Gator ties.
Yes.
I guess he has a lot of ties, but they're exes. And but John Reeves is not David Reeves, but Stephen Reeves, the other son, I believe, is a coach for Ole Miss right now.
So, okay. You know, yeah, we'll I remember John Reeves played in the 70s with Doug Dickey there. And I certainly remember him throwing the ball to Carlos Alvarez. And that was the big connection they had here.
Before we jump into all the tidbits you have for us today, JC, you know, obviously the last couple of days people have been talking about if there is a coaching change, which we don't know if there is or not. There's been reports out there by some of these Sports Illustrated, the Dennis Dodds of the world, I don't know who all they write for, that it will happen at the end of the year. Usually they have sources inside, but who knows? But, you know, obviously Lane's name's come up with the others. You know, I was thinking yesterday, there's one that hadn't coached in a while, but it'd be a pretty good job for him.
Which job would be good for him?
The Gators, if something were to
happen. Oh, the Florida job? And he hasn't coached in a while?
Mm-hmm. He's on TV now.
Okay.
He's got Florida ties.
Yeah. Bob Stoops.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
the word out there is he's itching to get back in it possibly.
Yeah. And it's kind of shocking to me that he's been away as long as he has, because you know how coaches are. He's not an old guy. I mean, relatively young. So I think that's a great name. But, you know, right now, folks, Florida has a coach. And and that's the thing, is that you're going into a world that's we don't even know if that world even exists. We do know, however, QB, that after Virginia Tech asked Justin Fuente to leave after 6 years in Blacksburg, we have had 12 coaches basically terminated during this season already. 12. Had Jimmy Lake at Washington was dismissed just a couple days ago. Of course, Fuente yesterday. We've got 12 coaches this year. 12. I was shocked to hear that number. And I mean, here we are still in the middle of November.
You know already. All the schools?
I could write it down if you gave me some time to think about it, but I don't know if that would be good podcasting. But I heard yesterday Rick Neuheisel say that there were 12 coaches. 12 coaches. So
all right, let's do it real quick. You got USC, okay, sure. All right. USC, so LSU.
LSU, Virginia Tech. Washington.
Washington, Texas Tech.
Texas Tech.
Georgia Southern.
Georgia Southern. I didn't even think about Georgia Southern. But, yeah, Georgia Southern.
I don't think it's 12.
It's 12. It's 12.
I'm going to argue that.
Well,
do your homework and let us know on Friday.
Well, I just told you. I mean, I if you want me to sit here and think about it, I can do it. I mean, that's not a big deal. I'd be happy to do it. Maybe when you have Edgar on, I'll go ahead and do a Facebook Live and give you the 12.
Joseph says on here there are 9 vacancies.
There might be, but there's 12 coaches leaving that have been asked to leave this year. 12. And Miami is going to be 13 because Manny Diaz just got the news that Blake James, his athletic director, has been dismissed. So that's going to be another coaching staff that's going to be turned over because the new AD is not coming in and keeping Manny Diaz. So I think we're pretty clear on that, or we should be, because that's just the way it works in the world. The AD brings in their own guys. Now, maybe Manny would win these last few games and stick around, but I don't see it happening. I don't think they're going to keep him. I think after that Florida State game, that was the final straw.
All right, we got a text here on the Titan War text line from Ryan. He says, the announcer jinx gone wild. Did you see during the Missouri-South Carolina game that Mizzou covered a fumble and ESPN threw up a stat that Mizzou was the only team in all of the land that hadn't lost a fumble as Mizzou was running a reverse and Dave Neal was commenting on the no fumbles lost stat. The runner promptly fumbled the ball and South Carolina recovered. Can't make that stuff up. Random NBA stat of the day. Shane, in the NBA, we grew up on it was rare if an entire team knocked down 9 three-pointers. Last night, Steph Curry hit for 9 from downtown, making it the 37th time he's made at least 9 or more in a game. I don't really pay attention to the NBA anymore, but damn, he's fun to watch with that quick release from anywhere inside half court. Thanks for the text, Ron. Yeah, three-pointers like layups these days. We got a couple other texts here. I don't know who this is from. They didn't give us a name here. Whoever it says, suggestion. Think of this. Listen to this one, Jason. You're going to like this one. Do you think you owe your fans to study the roster so you can talk about our roster? Over and over, I don't know about our roster. Fans deserve that. Additionally, a little knowledge about recruiting would be nice. Well, you're tuning into the wrong show. I couldn't tell you a thing about recruiting.
Well, listen,
follow it. I don't care.
Well, listen, recruiting is such a fluid thing, and there's no certainty to it. You only know anything. You know, the first signing period is coming up in a few weeks.
Yeah, so we do know that person, and don't care to know either.
Right. Okay. There you go.
I had one more I needed to read here. Another text that came over the text line, the Titan Amar text line. It is. It's referring recruiting and facilities. Chip says, Shane, I hear you say that the lack of facilities has hurt us in recruiting. Zook and Urban didn't have the facilities, and they brought in top 5 classes every year, and Urban won 2 national championships. Mullen cannot recruit, but is a great offensive mind. He needs to hire assistants that can recruit. Chip, that's not what I've said. First of all, Zook and Urban were tremendous recruiters, but nobody in America had football facilities when they were coaching. Nobody had them. So it was an even playing field, and we were winning games. So once we didn't have a facility, it obviously hurt us. We're like the only Power 5 school in America, and there are multiple group of fives that have better facilities than we do.
I think it's amazing how the university has kept that so under wraps, and the previous athletic director basically never even talked about it. All he talked about was that Florida was a destination location. We got sunshine and palm trees, and you need to play here. But those kids don't care about that. They want to go to the next level. They want to be wild when they walk through campus. Washington State's another one, QB. We didn't mention them. That was another school. As we're talking,
maybe it is here, 12. It's probably, well, you probably got the some MAC schools or some UMasses.
Sure.
UConn. Sure. Yeah. They just hired Jim Moore Jr., by the way.
Oh, okay. That's another one. Randy Edsel. So that's another one.
Yeah, so I'm not questioning Neuhausel. Just 12 sounded like a lot.
It is. That was the whole point of the statement, is that I can't believe we're at this point of the year. The rivalry games, for the most part, have yet to be played there at the end. And we've got 12 vacancy or 12 schools that are turning over their coach. So, and I think Manny Diaz will be 13. I mean, I don't know if he will be 13, but he will be amongst that group that has been turned over. So, and I say that because the athletic director was fired. So, If you just think about it for a few minutes, it'll come to 12. I don't think he would say something like that if you didn't know. Now, speaking of this Missouri team that the Florida Gators are playing, I was stunned yesterday to learn that the know-it-alls in Las Vegas, we always say how Vegas knows all, right? They have Missouri as an 8.5 to 9 point underdog at home against that team that played Saturday at the Swamp against Samford. 9 points. So something is fishy there, as you like to say. I will also tell you this one, QB. Missouri has, I think, some of their players coming back from, you know, being injured, quarterback being the biggest. But they've got a running back who leads the league in rushing. His name is Tyler Beatty, I guess. Tyler Beatty. So, QB, he's got 4 200-yard rushing games in the season, all right? And who knows, maybe Saturday he'll have 5. I hope not, but maybe he will. Give me the other 2 running backs in the SEC over the last 15 years. So that's pretty it's pretty obvious if you really think for a second, and you should take this time to think about it. There are 2 other running backs, just 2, that have had 4 200-yard games in one season. Can you name one of those 2?
Derrick Henry?
Yes, very good. And the other?
Well, let me think for a second.
Well, I'll give you
– had to be like in the last 15 years?
Well,
would it be like a Darren McFadden?
No, that's a great guess. It's not him, but I'll tell you, it's a guy who played about the same time Derrick Henry played.
Give me the school.
Oh, if I tell you the school, you'll get it. But I'll give
you Leonard Fournette?
Yes! Very good. So, Leonard and Derek, that's some pretty darn good company for Tyler to be in.
Let me tell you something.
See what he's all about Saturday.
Missouri, this will be my first trip there. I've never been to Columbia, Missouri. We got to fly into St. Louis and bus 2 hours because their airport screwed up in Columbia or something.
Como? Wow.
So it won't be much fun. But, love their quarterback. I absolutely love their quarterback, Connor Bazelak. I think he's an NFL-type player. He can throw the crap out of it. So it'll be interesting. You know, I'm anxious to see the crowd of Missouri. I was kind of hoping it would be a noon game.
And I thought it might have been had they lost to South Carolina, but they won. So they beat South Carolina 31-28, and I guess that guy got them a later start date. So it'll be a – kind of a late night for the old QB, but this is a weekend where we've got a lot of games, a lot of subsidy games, as I like to call them, being played this weekend. A lot of mismatch type of ball games, kind of like what we had with a couple schools in the SEC last weekend. And it just fries some of these fans in the Big Ten and the Big 12 and the Pac-10 and ACC, Pac-12 and the ACC when they watch Alabama play a New Mexico State, or they watch Georgia play a Western Carolina at this time of year. Or they watch, you know, these games where, you know, basically they're just getting paychecks to come. But we've got a lot of those this weekend. But there are some pretty good games. And, I think now that we've seen that in the SEC, it looks like Alabama in the West is certainly going to be Georgia in the East. And I certainly think this is Georgia's year. But Alabama will be playing this game if they beat either Auburn or Arkansas as an underdog, which is something I can't remember the last time it happened. It probably happened when Spurrier and Alabama were playing all those games in the 90s, the last time Alabama was an underdog in this game. So they'll be an underdog in this game. But one of the things I noticed was that, did you know Alabama in the nation was 5th in total defense? And did that surprise you? I mean, it shocked me when I looked at that. But who do you think right now of all conferences is the number one team in total defense?
It's got to be the conference or the team?
Total defense of all conferences, including all conferences.
It's got to be the Big Ten.
Which team is it?
Michigan?
It's Wisconsin, which is Michigan.
Yeah, they're very good on defense.
So Wisconsin is 1. Obviously, we've got Georgia 2. Who would you think is the number 3 team in total defense coming again from a Power 5 conference? Who is it?
The number 3 team?
Yeah, right behind Wisconsin and Georgia, the number 3 team.
Well, it had to be Georgia.
Well, Georgia's number 2. This team traditionally does not play or is known for really good defense, so that might give you a hint. But this year, they're playing some really damn good defense, and they've only lost 1 game. So that should tip you off right there. They've only lost 1 game. They're playing great defense.
Oklahoma State.
Absolutely. They are 3. Air Force checks in at 4, but that's because they don't – They don't play anybody.
The other team doesn't get the ball.
Right. And then Alabama, believe it or not, is fifth in total defense. Michigan is eighth. And then it goes down.
Where are the Gators?
Don't see them on this
list. I don't think they're as bad as people think. We got a Facebook Live here brought to you by Metal Law. Joseph says, on this day in sports, on this day 9 years ago, Derrick Henry broke the all-time high school rushing record against his hometown Bulldogs in the state playoffs. 58 carries, 503 yards, and 5 touchdowns. And that record has now been broken by Kid up in Baker up in the Panhandle.
Okay, cool. Well, the Panhandle's got some runners, man. You know, Yulee's
well,
up there.
Well, the runner that broke it ain't nothing like – he don't look anything like Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
A little old joker.
Yeah.
Turn your car truck into a rolling billboard for your business or brand with an eye-catching vehicle wrap from WrapSpot. This November, mention promo code Shane and receive 13% off your vehicle wrap. Speaking with JC on the Titan MR Hotline, we'll be joined by the Orlando Sentinel beat writer for the Gators, Edgar Thompson, who's very, very close to the football program. We'll get his thoughts on what's going on. JC, so who's in action tonight? Don't they have games tonight?
Yeah, man, they sure do. And, you know, Northern Illinois is the team right now, I think, with the best record in the conference, and they pretty much clinched that their side of it, and they will be playing the Buffalo Bulls. And then there's if I can get this thing to pull up a couple of others, but you know, you get two on Wednesday, two on Thursday, and or three or something like that, and it's really great entertainment for the middle of the week if you are just a purebred nothing but college football kind of guy like we are. Northern Illinois got a road game at Buffalo, and the odd thing, and this is why the MAC is so cool, they're a 1-point favorite against a team with a 500 record. Then you've got the other team that I think is playing pretty well, Central Michigan. They are a 1.5-point favorite over Ball State, who's a pretty good little team down there. So, you know, all these teams look the same, but every year somebody different seems to win the conference, and it's a really interesting little league. I don't know why I'm so drawn to it. I can't really explain it.
Joseph, I love it when our high school folks chime in. He said the Baker kid broke the single game rushing record, but Henry still has the all-time record. And the kid out of Baker only has one arm, believe it or not, the kid that broke it. Good question here, JC. This is for you.
Oh, boy.
You answer this. John says on Facebook Live, brought to you by Metal Law. He asked me, but I want to ask you. He says, QB, I'll replace QB for JC. Who gets in if you have a two-loss Alabama versus an undefeated Cincinnati Bearcats?
Yeah, I mean, I think the world wants to see Cincinnati in there. But if it depends on and agree or disagree with this, but I think this is real. It depends on Alabama, how they play against Georgia. Joey Galloway said last night that if Alabama were to lose a very tight game in the last second, let's say, against Georgia, how would you tell the rest of the world that they – I mean, nobody this year has even come close to Georgia, even come close, and you're going to take the team with two losses that played Georgia really close and throw them out. Well, the answer is, yeah, well, they lost the game to Texas A&M. So, yes, they have to go. They have to go. They have to go. I mean, they have to go. They lost the game to Texas A&M. They're out. So I think the prevailing opinion is that Alabama would be out. But this is what makes zero sense of all this. Zero. That's not an Oregon, a duck. Oh, that's a zero. When you look at the ESPN projections, which I don't understand the point of that, they've got Alabama 71% or something to that nature as a team that will make the Final Four, which tells you instantly that if the two-loss scenario is true, Alabama has a 71% chance of beating Georgia. So that's stupid. That doesn't make us – there is zero scenario that Georgia is one and Alabama is two in the Final Four. There is zero scenario for that. No chance. There's no chance. Because if Alabama beats – now, I guess the only thing would be
– what if Alabama beats Georgia?
Well, then they would be one, not two. So that's the point, is that there is zero scenario that Georgia would be one and Alabama would be two, which therefore makes no sense that Alabama has a 71% chance of making it unless everybody else has two and three losses. And that includes Cincinnati, who would have to lose to Southern Methodist, which I guess could happen, or Houston in their championship game. But you cannot have Alabama at two and Georgia at one. There's zero scenario for that. The only thing that could happen is if Alabama were to lose to Auburn and still end up beating Georgia. But then they still wouldn't be one. They would not be two either. So I don't know. They would be three in all likelihood if that happened. But Alabama's going to beat Auburn. They're going to beat Arkansas. and they're going to go at 11-1 and have to beat Georgia to get in. Nobody else has to do that. And Cincinnati's sitting there having to beat Houston Southern Methodist because Cincinnati didn't play A&M. So,
well, here's what I say to you, JC. Y'all shouldn't have lost A&M. Here we go. Jerry says here on Facebook. Jerry says,
you know what? You know what? How about this? Should Ohio State have lost to Oregon?
They were a ranked team, though.
Yeah.
Y'all lost to an unranked team. Jerry says, QB, ask JC where does he stand with Mullen? Keep him or let him ride? If he goes, who does he go after?
Yeah, I didn't try to lose to A&M. When I was on the field, I did all I could, QB.
You did. I mean, you were running scout team fullback.
Y'all lost to A&M. Well, listen, I think Dan Mullen's problem is all with public relations, other than the fact that right now his players aren't playing very hard for him. So, you know, we had a guy on ESPN last night named Mel Tucker who transformed his team in 1 year. I think Dan Mullen's going to get the chance to do that. I think they'll give him another year. I do not think he's being fired at the end of this year unless they go up to Missouri and just lay an egg and then Florida State somehow comes in here and embarrasses Florida. If that happens, then I don't think there's any chance he stays. So I guess there is a chance.
My feeling is I think it doesn't matter what the next 8 quarters – No matter what happens, I think they've already made a decision. I don't know what the decision is. I just think I don't think the next 2 games matter.
So you are saying right now at whatever time it is, 8:21 on Thursday or Wednesday, November 17th, that Dan Mullen will not be back next year.
I didn't say that.
What did you just say?
That the next,
they've already made a decision.
I think they have, but I'm saying.
Well, then what is that? What decision is that?
That they're either going to keep him or let him go. I don't know what the decision is. I don't think.
Well, that's not what he asked. That's not what he asked you.
I'm saying I don't think 8 quarters of football determines any fate. Because it's not like you're lining up against Alabama and Georgia. Let's see where we rank against the top two teams in the league.
All right, that's fair. I mean, but if they go 7-5, coming off an 8-4, when you look at his overall record, it's pretty darn good. And he took over a team that was in the dumpster fire. You know, I don't know if you fire him just because he had an 8-4 and 7-5 year.
Well, I don't know. John agrees with me. He says they have already made their decision one way or the other. That's just my gut feeling. And like I said, I don't know what the feeling – I don't know what the answer is.
That's not what he asked.
Here's the thing. You go beat Missouri 52-10. Does that change anything the way that we played this year?
Listen, I get it. I get it. It's been a terribly disappointing season. But I think it's 7-5 with a bowl game. I don't see him being fired unless he leaves. I don't think Strickland's going to fire him. I think – he would have to leave. If 5-7, that's different. 6-6 may even be different. But 7-5 with a bowl game coming off an 8-4 year, coming off an overall
record. That would mean 34 games. We're 13-9 in our last 22 games.
Yeah. No, the last two seasons haven't gone well. I get it.
Yeah. We got a text here on the Titan Mark text line from Barry. Says, Shane, do you think the kids would come to Florida if a coaching change was made? If Bobby Stoops was hired, just throwing that out there. Yeah, I mean, I don't think you're going to have a mad rush, regardless if there is a coach. We don't know if there's going to be a coach change. Let me just put it this way. Whether Dan's back or Coach X comes in, I don't think it's going to be a great recruiting class.
Yeah.
Because you already have a staff that people have doubts about recruiting. You keep them. We've already seen kids decommit. You bring in a new coach. Yeah, he may bring in a few, but it's so hard, especially it's being so late. I mean, majority of the kids are going to sign here in 2 weeks or 3 weeks or however long.
That's right. December 15th. This is the time. Yeah, I mean, this is the time you've got to get some decisions made. This is why, you know, when LSU and USC pulled the plug, it was very clear and very stable with what their plan was. And, you know, Jimbo has said over and over again he's not going to LSU because he's got probably the best recruiting class in the country coming. He says, why would I go to LSU and play against those guys? Well, there is two words for that. It's called transfer portal. But having said that, those kids haven't signed to A&M yet. So, I mean, you know, listen, recruiting.
Hang on, JC. Hang on with that thought. I got to get this Facebook Live for it because she asked this yesterday. Natasha asked, which brings up my question from yesterday. Is he on the hot seat for losing or the culture of accepting losses and not accepting responsibility?
I go with B, because losing, the record is not a losing record. So it's absolutely B. Good question, Natasha. It is absolutely B. And that has been the whole problem ever since he came rushing out against Missouri last year during the riot on the field. The Darth Vader thing, the fact that, you know, they outplayed Kentucky, blah, 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 blah. People aren't – it's falling on deaf ears. That's not what you want your leader to start. You know, you want your guy to say, listen, let's take nothing away from Kentucky. They beat us fair and square. We've got to work on some things. You don't come out and go, yeah, we were a better team. We had 290 yards. They had 240, blah, blah, blah. That's just not going to work. Players don't even want to hear that.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's what I was on a show yesterday, and somebody asked me something similar. And it's just – maybe it's because of the way I was coached.
Yeah.
Even if I played poorly in a game,
yeah,
I just said, hey, we won, we lost, whatever the outcome was. I didn't play very well.
We got to get better.
And our old coach used to say, we were fortunate. I got to coach better and we got to play better.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, let's have some accountability. And I think a lot of folks who have problems with Dan Mullen have problems with the fact that it's either his ego or whatever it is will not take accountability for when things don't go well. And when you have 11 penalties against Kentucky and you lose a game by 7 points, that's a game you should have won. And you don't go out there saying, well, you were the better team because you had more yards. That's just dumb. Those kinds of things just don't resonate with people anymore.
Yeah. You know, stats sometimes lie because I know when we were before the South Carolina game, we were 4-4. And we had outgained every opponent. But sometimes when you're behind, you have to hurry up and throw the football and
you come out of your game plan.
Try to score. So you get more yards than your opponent. So John says he never misses Shane's podcast. We appreciate you joining us, John. He tells it like it is with no punches pulled. Great to hear Edgar wish he still had his podcast.
There you go.
All right, so Chris says on Facebook Live, brought to you by Mellon Law. Gentlemen, if you were the AD, what decisions would you make to improve Florida football, their facilities, recruiting budget, yada, yada, yada? Well, I will say this. Once our football facility is built, and I think they move in April or May, I don't know the exact date, that will help with something that we have needed for years. I'm talking years. The recruiting budget, I've never understood, and I'm not smart enough to figure out. You know, they say Georgia spends all this money. I don't know what they're spending it on. I mean, you can only fly so many places, and I don't think they have their own school plane. So that may be why they spend more money. We do have our own little private jet that coaches fly around in. So I can't comment on the recruiting budget. So anyway, sorry about that. You got any comments on that, JC, since you're a financial guy?
Well, I would have a hard time thinking that any school in the SEC with all the money it gets off TV doesn't have a jet for the coach. I will say I felt bad for – oh, here's another coach, Butch Davis, FIU. Do you realize that that's another coach that's been let go? And Butch Davis is a great guy. And Butch Davis had to play with Mississippi State's pads that were 9 years old and wasn't allowed to recruit on the road because of the lunatics down in Boca. So, you know – this is the thing, but I can't imagine any of the SEC schools not having a jet, not with the money they get paid and not with the money they're about to get paid on the next contract.
And Natasha says the big problem is who is there out there to replace Dan because there are other big schools looking for coaches too.
Yeah, that is true.
I think if something were to happen, and like I said, we don't know. But we're here just – that's what
the podcast is for. Well, you decided that – okay, yeah, that's what the podcast is for. And you know, if you're going to
say – I think there's two guys.
Okay. Lane and Bobby.
I got my list at two.
You got Lane and Bobby. Now, I would say this, QB. I would say if you think the decision has already been made and it keeps being talked about, then that leans me toward the decision to let go
why doesn't
Scott Strickland get right up there right now and stabilize the whole damn story? Right, he could do that today. He could stabilize the entire situation and say he's not going anywhere. So that pretty much tells me all I need to know, but I don't think he should, but we'll see.
So you're saying if Mullen was going to be let go, he should say something today?
I'm saying if Mullen wasn't going to be let go, he should say something today.
Okay.
And that's what I'm saying. But if they've already made that decision and he's decided that Mullen will stay, then say it today. If he's already made that decision and Mullen is letting him go, then obviously he's not going to say it until the end of the season. So to me, it's pretty obvious that if he isn't saying anything today to defend the guy or give him that dreaded vote of confidence, that guy's on the way out, whether you think it's right or wrong. That's what I think.
Joseph asked on Facebook Live, brought to you by Mel. Pretty obvious. What's y'all's opinion on Billy Napier?
Well, I think he's done great at Lafayette. I mean, he's done great. That's not the splash hire Florida wants.
He coached under Urban. He coached under Dan. Mm-hmm. He's a quarterback run off based offense. We need it. And I just wish Dan would go back to what we have with Kyle Trask. A guy that can throw and make good decisions. That's
how you go find him. You have to go find that guy. He's not on campus.
No, I know that. You ain't got. Right. You're preaching to the choir here. Really.
So again, to create stability in this program and to get guys like us from talking about this, Scott Strickland needs to take ownership. Remember, Scott Strickland's in kind of the same position. I mean, he's hiring people that are being replaced. The basketball coach, this coach, possibly, who knows. And the point is that he needs to come out if he's going to keep this coach and say, he's not going anywhere, folks. Let's quit talking about it. Let's beat Missouri and Florida State and go win a ball game. That's what needs to happen if you want to create some semblance of stability so that the recruits and that these other people will quit talking about this and the recruits will want to come here. Because if there's no coach here, what recruit's going to come on December 15th? So obviously they're going to have somebody in mind to replace him by then.
We'll see. Before I let you go and we get to Edgar, we're going to do This Day in Sports brought to you by our good friends at Comfort Temp. Comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. Comfort Temp's now hiring, JC. Team members with all levels of experience. They'll give you a $1,000 signing bonus. Ooh. Give them a call, 352-376-2366. Could you work and hook up somebody's AC?
That's the last thing you want.
Yes, we don't want JC coming in and doing your house calls.
Either one of us, QB. Either one of us.
I'll be honest. I'm not good at that stuff. Okay, JC. The Iron Bowl in 1900. You know what happened in the Iron Bowl in 1900?
Not 1900, I don't. 121 years ago.
War Eagle beats the Crimson Tide 53-5 in Montgomery in the Iron Bowl in 1900. On this day.
Oh my!
So
goodness.
Take that.
Oh yeah. Well, good luck, TJ Finley. You're gonna get all you want in 2 weeks.
Oh yeah, Auburn has no chance now.
TJ Finley. I don't know if they even had a chance with Bo Nix. That team can't play. They're not that good. They're an average team. And you know, listen, they'll go to a nice little cute little bowl their fans can go travel to and buy souvenirs at.
Yeah. All right, JC. We'll talk to you on Friday. Go study. Oh,
okay. We'll see you Friday.
Picks. Okay, JC, join us on the Titan Tomorrow Hotline. I'm going to take our first time out. Come back. We'll be joined by Florida Gators beat writer from the Orlando Sentinel, Edgar Thompson. You're watching and listening to Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, won't back down. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp. Comfort is our business. Peace of mind is our promise. QC Kinetics. Live pain-free with QC Kinetics. Great Clips. It's going to be great. Our Gridiron sponsors are Auto ER, UF Bookstores, Celebration Point Town Center, South State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage, Silverback Concrete Co. Some of our touchdown sponsors are MB Listing, McDonald's of Gainesville, My IT Masters, Gainesville Neon and Signs, 84 Lumber, Tropical Smoothie Cafe, Aver and Smith, Dowling Signs, Baker's Sporting Goods, Ruse Ogra Agent, State Farm Insurance, Silver Cube Billiards and Sports Bar. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure you follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Welcome. Welcome back to the Crime Prevention Security System Studios, Celebration Points, where the Gators go to celebrate with premium brands like Nike, Prime and Pearl, Regal Cinemas, Le Macaron, Dave and Buster's, Bass Pro Shops, and the HBC's restaurant, Spurrier's Gridiron Grill, now serving brunch on Saturday and Sundays. We'll see you at Celebration Point, where the Gators go to celebrate. We're now going to go to the Titan Tomorrow Hotline, and we're going to be joined by the Florida Gator beat writer from the Orlando Sentinel, Mr. Edgar Thompson. Good morning, Edgar. Coming to you live from Aspen, Colorado, at the ski slopes.
I'll tell you, these houses in Gainesville, the older ones, I live in a house from like the 50s, and it has jalousy windows too. I mean, I love this place, but it's freezing in here. And then you walk outside later, it'll be like 75 degrees. You're like, why is my house so cold?
Yep. Chris says, Edgar looks cold. Yep, he is cold. He's hunkered down there. Going to hit the ski slopes earlier. All right, Edgar, we had a big discussion JC and I did about, Coach Mullen. I told him, I said, I feel like they've already made their decision. I don't know what that decision is, but I don't think the next 8 quarters of football are going to matter. What are your thoughts?
I mean, it's probably a keen observation. I've been told no decision's been made, but what you're told and what's reality, right? I mean, it's not like they're going to, we're getting rid of the guy or we're keeping the guy. They don't want either of those narratives out there yet. So maybe Scott's going to let it play out. I don't know how you change things with 2 wins. I mean, is that going to energize recruiting suddenly? Is that going to certainly appease the fan base? No, it might energize recruiting a little bit, but it's not going to appease the fans who want Dan gone. And it's a tough position the guy's in. And look, he might fire himself. They might go to Missouri. And if they start out like they did against Samford, this is a legitimate run offense at the very least. It's not a great team by any means, but they got a really good running back. I mean, Drinkwitz can coach offense pretty well, and they're going to have a game plan, and they're going to be trying to run it at this team that struggled to stop the run.
Yeah, Daniel says here on Facebook Live, brought to you by Melvin Law. Shane, can you ask Edgar why Damian Pierce doesn't get more touches? It's a no-brainer to have a downhill guy that's hard to bring down, wear down opposing defenses, run the clock, and keep opponents' offense off the field. Speaking of that, for you, I want your thoughts on Damian Pierce. He's the one guy I'll go to battle with any day of the week. I think he plays so hard. I saw where Pro Football Focus, who grades every player in mm-hmm. college football, they have him rated the number one running back because of his yards after contact, however they do the grading. But he's a player that just has not played enough as a Florida Gator.
No, I mean, he's running with purpose. Kid works his tail off, works his butt off. He is the guy's like his squatting, like his, ability to squat weight is like legendary. He apparently, when he first got here, was putting 600 on there and just like, butt almost touching the ground squats, right? I can't even do an air squat like that at my age, no. Right? I mean, the kid, he's a beast, man, and he's a good leader. He's everything you want. I mean, he's bought into the program. I don't know why he doesn't touch the ball. I think, were you joking that he'd need an IV at the end of the game if you were the coach? Yeah, that's what they need to do this week. I mean, Missouri allows an average of 249 yards a game and second to last in the nation. They're a terrible run defense. You have to try to beat them that way, period. That's how you got to go about it. If Dan comes out doing anything differently, I got to start wondering, because this is the thing, Shane. We've reached the point where not only the environment's gotten really toxic around the program and the reasons for it that we can discuss in a second, but it's gotten to the point where everything Dan does well is now into question. Oh, he doesn't develop quarterbacks well. Well, I mean, let's go look at his tracker. Pretty good. Oh, his play calling stinks. His game plan. Well, I mean, he's been pretty good at that. Dave Aranda, who's getting all kinds of like kudos over at Baylor, right? He had Dave Aranda looking like an idiot in 2018 with that boundary option. You remember that? where they just kept running that on LSU and they couldn't figure it out. I mean, he had Nick Saban on the run earlier this season. And when Richardson came in at LSU, man, they were just like boom, 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 and they had plays going. So he can get it rolling, but he hasn't done that frequently enough this year, and you have to scratch your head at some of the decision-making with the play calls even. If they don't go to Missouri this week, and maybe I don't know enough, and just run that, stick that ball in Pierce's gut and run that football, I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, and so having said that, I've been feeling like every week I'm like, okay, Pierce is going to get – he's going to start the game and he's going to get a ton of touches. Malik Davis starts the game, gets his series. Damian comes in the next series. Hell, we could go – we could throw an interception or score and he never touches the ball. And then Naquan comes in and gets his – I just – you know, I've said it many times on my show and other shows. I feel like – and it's not just this year because things aren't going well. We did it last year and the previous year. It's just – it's their philosophy of playing a lot of skill guys, keeping them fresh. You know, every series, the four wide – or the three receivers and the tight end, they rotate as well. And I've always said, could you imagine in 1995 and 1996 – Coach Spurrier alternating Quezzy, Ike, and Riedel every other series.
You said this last time we were on.
Yeah, it drives me insane.
They're kind of intractable with that philosophy for some reason. I'm trying to remember who I spoke with yesterday. God. And I'm speaking to too many people, man. It's all getting muddled about, like, coaching candidates and what's really going to happen. I mean, right, the conversations start bleeding into each other. But someone was telling me yesterday they're hearing more staff changes are on the way if Dan makes it through. And look, I'm not going to start firing guys on here, but Greg Knox, man, those special teams need another coach, period. So if you think he's a good enough running backs coach and the development of some of these guys has been noticeable for sure, then you keep him for that. You get a new special teams coach. But maybe he's the guy behind this rotation thing, or maybe that's Dan. I don't know.
But they've done it. They do it at the receiver position too.
Yeah. I think they got to change, man. They got to adapt somewhere. Dan is Dan, man. That's why people are upset, because he is thin-skinned to a degree, it seems, right? He is intractable. He is defensive. He's all these things, and it comes across poorly. And like Mike, I was just on Mike Bianchi's show, and the whole dancing thing came up. I don't have an issue with a bunch of kids celebrating a victory. I get the optics look bad, but it's like it gets out and then it looks bad. And I don't know. Maybe Dan's tone deaf in a way doing that. But what are they – it's a bunch of kids. I don't know. But people – his tone deafness at times is getting him in trouble, and his lack of adaptability. And maybe to finish your point going forward, he's got to take a hard look at, like, how are we doing things the right way with some of these rotational patterns.
Yeah. You know, JC brought up earlier, and you meet, you're a media guy, and I know Scott Strickland is a former media guy as well. And we were talking about, you know, JC just asked me, or maybe it was a Facebook Live, what I thought was going to happen. I said, look, I don't have any scoop or I don't know any of it. I just feel like a decision has already been made. And that decision could be keep Dan or let him go. I don't know what that answer is. But I don't think beating Missouri and Florida State have anything to do with it or losing to them. I think they've already made their mind up. And so JC made a good point. If the administration wants to get out there to the public, shouldn't Scott Strickland come out and just say, hey, Dan will be our football coach next year?
I would like him to say that. It would, if he's going to do that, let's get it out there. We're going to see Scott at the game tomorrow night. If Scott watches your pod, maybe he won't be like, he'll be hiding. but yeah, and they play Milwaukee in basketball to build off this Florida State win they're going to try. But I get the sense from Dan, okay, I mean, I've been around this a long time. Dan did not seem like a guy on the verge of getting fired Monday. Now, I'm not saying that he knows he's got a secure job and he's coming back either, but he wasn't like Eeyore up there, right? He wasn't up there like McElwain. You could tell it was slipping, and then the death threats line slipped out. And I was like, what the heck? I mean, that was crazy. I'm sitting there holding the mic that day, by the way, Shane, when he said death threats. And I'm sitting here like, okay. And it comes to me and I'm like, death threats? And it was like that whole thing, that whole soundbite blew up. It was like on national news or something. People are like, I heard you ask a question. The point being, he doesn't seem like he's slipping like that right now. And you could tell Boone was a dead man walking after the Missouri game. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, I don't know. It doesn't feel like that from Dan. So, but that doesn't mean he's been assured he's coming back either.
Right. Speaking of dancing, I don't know if our listeners or you saw the locker room at Mississippi State, Edgar, with Mike Leach. I think I have it. I'm gonna send it to you. And of course, it's on Twitter, and so they have him in his press conference talking about dancing. And of course, you know how that goes with Mike Leach. He just carried
on. He's funny.
And then it shows him. It was great. But I mean, hell, they deserved to dance. They were down 28-3 and scored 40 unanswered. And it was great.
By the way, speaking of dancing, not to interrupt you, last night, Gareth McGee talked to us. Did you see any of the quotes on Twitter?
I did not.
Real quickly, Gareth McGee was very insightful. I don't want to take this too far away from what you want, but
no, you're good. Let's hear about it.
He talked about two things. He's an incredibly well-spoken guy, by the way. Man, we need to speak to him every week. I mean, I don't know why Dan doesn't put him out there once a week. He's fantastic. He talked about Emory Jones and how his mother, I'm writing this story right now. In fact, I'm going to finish it after we get off here. His mother didn't even want to come to games after the first couple. I mean, her kid was just getting absolutely castigated in the stands, the vitriol, the boos. That's hard, man, on a parent, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. I'm sure, I don't know if your folks came to your games.
They were there, every one of them.
Well, Danny Cannell might not be like your favorite guy. I mean, I could understand that. But I remember talking to him back in the day. And he talked about his grandmother came here and had like a little pen and with his face on it for a Florida State game, which they ended up losing in the swamp in 95. And they're just screaming and yelling at his grandmother the whole day. 80-year-old woman. It gets a little personal, you know, sometimes. The other observation he made was Anthony Richardson's just got to grow up. He's like his mother said it to me. He may look like a man. He's a kid and he needs to grow up. Not only in the game as he needs to, you know, grow in all the elements of being a quarterback, but McGee's talking about how he was over at the indoor recently and he's over there dancing and hurting his knee. I mean, the kid needs to stop dancing, stop backflipping, and get in the playbook and work on his mechanics, man. I mean, we get it. You're a wonderful athlete and you're like a gymnast or whatever, but that isn't what you're here to do. Mm-hmm. And he's hurting himself doing dumb things like this. And he's like, he's got to stop this.
Yeah. It's there's so much more to playing quarterback than being a physically gifted player with all those attributes. He's got a long ways to go. And I don't think people realize that or he would be playing right now. All right. So looking at this Missouri team, they got the number one rusher in the league. They got a really good quarterback. They can't stop anybody. You see this game being a shootout?
Yeah, I do. I didn't see anything from the Gators defense the other day to make me think that, you know, Christian Robinson's the elixir here. I mean, the team was completely disorganized. I wrote about it today. I mean, it was the same disorganized stuff we've been seeing. It isn't like all of a sudden, oh, okay, they look like a different defense. They looked even worse. Those first two series were just brutal. Three offside penalties, 5 of 6 on third down, and the time they stop them, they convert to fourth. So it was like they did pull it together, but you have such a talent gap. The quarterback was pretty impressive for Samford. And Montrell Washington might be better than any skill player the Gators have. He certainly looked like it that day. But other than that, it was like a two-man team, and they're running all over you. So, yeah, they got it. I don't expect them to be stopped in Missouri much. The Gators are going to have to score a lot of points.
Yeah, Chris says here on Facebook Live, brought to you by Metal Law, we look better with the second-string D-line in for sure. Every time we play the D-line, second-string D-line against South Carolina, we forced a punt. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen Saturday. I don't think we're going to be able to stop them running the football unless we load the box. And then if you load the box, you're going to allow a guy who has a chance to be an NFL quarterback in Bazelak beat you throwing. So it'll be interesting to see the strategy behind this game. But, gosh, it's my first trip ever to Missouri. I'm anxious to see it, but I'm not feeling real good.
Well, don't get that anxious. You're not missing much.
No, I know.
I'm joking. It's I'm not making the trip because they keep doing it on Zoom. I wish I were going. I canceled my hotel like 2 weeks ago, and when I did after South Carolina, I was like, oh man, I really should be going to that game. It's a hassle of a game to go to. I mean, I had a courtyard like 2 miles from the stadium for like cheap that I got a while back, but yeah, it looks like the weather will favor the Gators. It's going to be 55, 50-ish, maybe get down in the 40s. That's nothing. It isn't going to be like spitting sleet or anything. The Gators should win this football game, period. And Florida State, you know, is trending a bit, but Florida in the swamp should beat Florida State. The Gators should win these two games. And if they don't, you got serious questions. But look, the foundation is already creaky. We're seeing some flaws. We see recruiting is in a tailspin a bit. I don't know what the answers are. Is it blowing it all up and starting over? You dang well better get the guy you want, whoever that might be. I don't know if it's Napier or if it's Cristobal or if it's a Lane train coming to Gainesville. I don't know what it is, but you dang well better be sure. Because if you're going to blow this thing up, Dan Mullen still is a good college football coach, I believe. I don't know about you.
Yeah, at Chris Doring Mortgage, they do mortgage lending right, helping home buyers throughout Gainesville, North Central Florida. Call Chris Doring Mortgage today at 352-244-0840. A few more minutes with Edgar here on the Titan More Hotline. All right, so you just named some guys.
What do you think? First off, what do you think about what I said? Do you think he's a good coach?
Oh yeah, no, he's a good coach. There's no question about it. But if something were to happen, you mentioned Mario Cristobal, Billy Napier, Lane Kiffin. Billy Napier is too run quarterback for me. We're going to see the same type of offense. Quarterback runs. I think we need somebody that's going to call a bunch of passes with a drop back guy. So it would be Lane. Here's another name for you. Just throw out there, Edgar. You can do some digging. What about Bobby Stoops coming out of retirement?
I mean, every time they're opening here, Bob Stoops is on an airplane to Gainesville, and it never happens.
Tracking him?
So it just never happens. I'm not tracking him. I mean, other people are like, oh, Bob Stoops is in town. Oh, I mean, there are Bob Stoops sightings everywhere. Does he want to be – This is a tough job, man. Does he want to do that? He's got a great life. He probably made 50 million. He probably got 50 million, man. He's just sitting around enjoying life, doing TV. Sees what Urban did. Urban took that Fox gig and was great at it, and better than Stoops is at it. And he's off, you know, getting hammered in Jacksonville, you know? So I just don't know. But I think, you know, Lane Kiffin would really – this is my take on Kiffin. There's a lot of things that the Florida mentality, the old guard. I mean, Jeremy Foley is still involved with this athletic department. I don't know that you could sell Lane to him. Do you have to, though? The fans, man, would love Lane. Recruiting would love Lane. And here's one of the things, Shane. The average fan for Florida, I was told a few years ago, is like pushing 60, right? The season ticket holder, excuse me. Mm-hmm. You need younger fans to be putting into the kitty, buying season tickets, being boosters, and Lane, man, would excite that crew. That 25, 30-year-old, those ones who are out in the workforce now making some money, they would love to have Lane, and they would start kicking in and coming to games that they're not coming to now.
Yeah, that's true. Good stuff as always, Edgar. You can follow Edgar on Twitter at OS Gators. Does a tremendous job. We appreciate you taking the time. Go get you a heater there, Edgar.
Yeah, it's on. All right, thanks, man.
All right, that's Edgar Thompson. We're going to hope you enjoy today's program. Today's show is a wrap, brought to you by Wrap Spot, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.